talk about a bandwagon.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Everywhere you look, there is outrage about AIG. In the Senate today, they're taking up legislation aimed at sticking it to the company's bonus beneficiaries. The House passed a bill that would tax that money to Kingdom Come. States are even getting into the act, too. New Jersey, the latest among 19, looking for answers about whether tax dollars were used to fund millions of bucks in payouts. The fallout continues over the Federal Reserve's plan to buy U.S. treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, essentially printing $1 trillion to do that. That's made for a rough week for the U.S. dollar, on track for its biggest weekly drop in more than two decades. Global concerns about the dollar's value are so strong that next week a United Nations panel could recommend ditching the dollar as the world's go-to currency. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The concern is there are too many dollars in the system. That after the Federal Reserve's decision this week to make a $1 trillion helicopter drop of cash into the U.S. economy. A devalued dollar could unsettle the world's central banks that use it as their official reserve currency. Concern is so high that a U.N. panel will debate whether countries should drop the dollar and move to a reserve system that holds a mix of currencies. Proponents say a basket currency system would avoid a concentration of assets in one place. But economist Neil McKinnon with the ECU Group says any move to oust the dollar as the world's top currency is premature.
The dollar is still an important currency for world trade. Many commodities are still priced in dollars. The dollar is still a major investment currency.
The pressure from the UN panel could force the dollar's value to drop even further. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The markets didn't like those fears of a weaker dollar and inflation. Asian stocks closed lower, Japan and Hong Kong down. European shares are mixed at this hour. The Dow lost more than 1% to close at 7,400 yesterday. The Nasdaq slipped by 0.5%. S&P shares were down about 1.5%. Futures point to more losses as we wrap up the business week. Today in Washington, the International Franchise Expo kicks off. Companies that sell franchising packages will be hard-pressed to find takers in this economy. But opportunities are out there. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, here's Mitchell Hartman.
Bishop's Barbershops of Portland will be at the expo looking to expand its franchise footprint. Its stripped-down decor and cut-rate haircuts sell well in this economy. Video game retailer GamerDoc will also be hawking its franchises in D.C. It's expecting to expand from 4 to as many as 40 stores this year. Company president Jim Bellinger says offering consumers value, a $50 game you can play again and again, is key.
You want to go to a professional basketball game, you got to spend $300, $400. You got to travel. You got to be on their time schedule. I think people are just not willing to do that anymore because, you know, they basically have priced themselves out of the market.
Bellinger says this is a good time to get into a franchise with bargains on leases and construction easy to find. A franchise can cost upward of $200,000, and credit is tight these days. But franchisees are finding some creative financing options, like getting angel investors or tapping into retirement savings through an IRA. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There's more about the expo at our website, marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue, fresh thinking on the moral, spiritual, and ethical aspects of the economic downturn. Gain perspective at speakingoffaith.org.
The music scene has taken over the streets of Austin, Texas. The South by Southwest Festival is going into its last weekend, one that'll feature a lot of songs and a lot of music industry talk. David Brown reports on all that for Public Radio KUT in Austin. David, welcome. And I guess I have to ask if this economic fallout is affecting what's going on over there.
Well, you know, South by Southwest is one of Austin's surest economic generators. It gins up about $100 million for the city in economic activity each year. With a series of three big events, music's just one part of it. There's also a film event and a fast-growing interactive conference. This year, sales of badges, the ticket to see all the music shows, they were down by an estimated 10 to 15%. But There were more bands this year. That suggests that the industry is putting more money and pushing the bands that that make the money and maybe doing less schmoozing. But more important for the festival, we're seeing sales on that interactive event up by about 30%. We don't have any final numbers, but as one headline put it here, South by Southwest appears to be rocking through the recession.
Well, a lot of record label folk there too, right, David? And downloads in the digital age have turned the industry pretty much upside down. I mean, how does that affect what I would think is an industry event like South by Southwest?
You know, it's funny. You put your finger right on it when you say industry event. Something people sometimes lose sight of because there's so much great music down here is that this isn't a festival. Really, this is a music conference. It's about exposing people in the music industry to new talent and trends and maybe others with something to offer. It's a networking thing. For the past several years, these panel events have started with a lot of doom and gloom about the meltdown of the record industry. But what's happened on the flip side of that is it's all about DIY or do-it-yourself everything, from recording to marketing to building brands. To be a musician today, you really have to be an entrepreneur. So South by Southwest, which used to be dominated by the suits, it's completely inverted. Nowadays, if you're a musician, you come not just to be exposed to the people who can sign you the big labels or get discovered. It's about learning how to stand out in a world where, you know, the barriers to entry on the internet are nil. So how do you make your brand pop out? How do you get heard with all those MySpace pages out there? That's what this has become. And so in a way, South by Southwest has become, I think, maybe truer to the spirit of independent music than it was when it was founded 23 years ago. These are real independents becoming entrepreneurs and making things work for themselves.
David Brown is host and editor of Texas Music Matters, the music journalism unit over at KUT in Austin. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Steve.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.